Hello and welcome to the Mercenary Star Podcast. My name is Seth, also known as White Fox SG, and today I am joined once again by my friend and special guest, Zach, aka Zimmer, from the Valhalla Club podcast, right? How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. I'm doing better than our last recording, that's for sure.
Yeah, you were having some sickness feeling there, weren't you?
Yeah. By the way, why am I here two episodes in a row?
You know, I just thought it would be fun to bring you back. Actually, no, here's why. Because, you know, you and I did not get to go to Gen Con. And we were mad about it. So we decided to have a Gen Con, you know, news announcements wrap up video together to celebrate our not being there.
That sounds about right. That's as good an excuse as any.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Excuse me. So we are here to talk about Gen Con. Unfortunately, like I said, we did not get to go, but there was a fair amount of announcements. I wouldn't say a ton. I feel like this was probably the lightest BattleTech Gen Con we've had in a while because of Kickstarters and other things.
And so, yeah. I think they just set the bar so high for themselves in some ways, you know, because like you mentioned, previous Gen Cons, they're announcing Kickstarters. And, you know, for a change, Catalyst doesn't have a, BattleTech Kickstarter.
No, you're right. And it's not just, I would say that is definitely part of it. I would also say that some of the product that was front and center for CGL this year was BattleTech adjacent. And so I don't really know that I would lump it together with the same amount of BattleTech announcements and news that we normally get.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
We'll get into that in just a minute.
Yeah. It's not like we're at a loss of things to talk about either, though.
No. We've got a fair amount.
Just fewer surprises this year, which, you know, isn't a bad thing.
No, absolutely not. So, but you know what? Let's go ahead and jump over to our presentation. If you are listening to the podcast, thank you very much. Please be sure to give us a review on whatever podcast platform that you are listening to. It helps the podcast out immensely. However, we are primarily a visual podcast as well. And so you can definitely follow over on YouTube at the Mercenary Star Podcast and follow along with the presentation so you know what we're talking about. We got lots of good pictures submitted to us from friends of the show, people who were boots on the ground at Gen Con. We've got pictures of product and then we have, there was a few pictures that we had to scour the internet and find from different places because, you know, Gen Con's kind of crazy and people didn't have pictures of everything. So, all right.
So we're first getting into it. We can talk about the various events that were there, right? Well,
yeah,
we're just
going to
gloss through it really, but
yeah,
you know.
Since we weren't there and we didn't get to participate in those events, we are going to talk about just a few of them. Mostly the ones that we have pictures of. First and foremost, if you did not see the title slide or the cover photo for this episode, it is currently up on screen now on YouTube. It is Coach Aaron Kroll from Wolfnet wearing a 3D printed neuro helmet, the classic canister style. Absolutely love it. I think Kaz might have made those, also friend of the show, Kaz. Got to have him on at some point. But I think he made those or had those. And so he took a picture of Coach wearing it. It looks fantastic. It's got like the mohawk on top too, which is great.
The mohawk is definitely a choice.
Yeah, I think it goes back to some of the. Goofy. I think it goes back to some of the original art that like that one of them had that. It was an homage for sure. We have some pictures from some more of the Wolfnet crew. We've got Brute with the Viking helmet, which is fantastic. We have Andrew Kroll, who is sitting next to Bushido, who is a CSO artist, amazingly talented painter, like the best I know, honestly. And also a super nice guy. The two of them were playing Masters and Minions together. Masters and Minions is one of the events you can sign up for, the Battletech events. And basically, there are two masters who pair up, and it's a game of Classic, which is also why it takes a long time. But it's 2v2, and so you basically get to, if you beat them, you get to keep one of the painted mechs at the end. So, and they're like super very well done painted mechs. And so with Bushido, I know he's the one that painted them. For he and Andrew. And so we've got a couple of pictures of the table there. We also have some pictures submitted from both Bourbon from Valhalla Club, and also from Tom Bovey, who they were playing each other. And so we had a couple pictures from them to share. So there's also some pictures of the hallways at Gen Con. If you haven't been to Gen Con, there's like 75 to 80,000 people there. So it's pretty insane. But we don't care about all those other games. We only care about Battletech on this podcast. So here's some more pictures of some of the gameplay from that Masters and Minions. There are so many. There's a Alpha Strike 350 tournament. I'm sure you would be really excited about that, Zach. There are other Alpha Strike events. There's an Alpha Strike doubles event or a 350 doubles event that the Wolfnet crew also puts on. There are grinder tables, there are Alpha Strike Academy tables where you learn to play. There's so much going on at Gen Con in the hall where they have all the games set up. And you know, CGL and the Battletech people have a bunch of tables, honestly. So yeah, we got some good photos submitted. We have got most of the gameplay photos were submitted from Kaz and Charles Gideon. Like I said, Tom Bovey sent some. Kaz sent me the most, which are great. There's some great ones, some great shots of the fighting going down.
Nicely painted. Very nicely painted. I'm just gonna point out, I think that's a Jade Hawk in the one picture here. They actually made like resin swamp base on that thing. Like, my goodness, Talon display.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, absolutely. People really do bring their best to these places.
And you know what? I wonder if that's one of the ones done by Bushido. I think it might be He had two of those Jade Hawks painted up in that Seafox Foxconn 8 color scheme, which, so good. So good. I don't have the close ups of them. And then that's also a Hero Falcon, I think, right there. That's what it is.
Is that what that mech? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not too familiar with a lot of the later tech. I'm still like stuck in that Clan Invasion, Secession Wars tech level.
But yeah, so there's more. I love if you're looking at the presentation now, there's some vehicles there and they look like they have kind of tartan wrapping paper, like it's a present. And there's another one. There's another one in a second. You can see this blue and yellow. There's a better picture. But I love that. That's hilarious. So yeah, great pictures of the fighting going on. It does make me, there's a picture of the two of them. I think it's fantastic. Looks like GIFs.
Yeah, it's adorable.
So it definitely makes me, you know, it encourages me to want to paint first and foremost. And then it also just, you know, makes me want to be at some of these tournaments. But I think that in the future, Zach, I don't know if I would go to Gen Con and participate in any of the tournament stuff, unless it was like, you know, Masters and Minions, like a one-off. I don't think I would join the big tournaments. I think maybe like a few smaller games or an event like that, just because I would want to socialize too much.
Yeah, I think I already talked to you about this. Like, I do want to go to Gen Con next year, and I'm planning for it.
Yeah.
And for that, I don't really have much interest in hopping into the tournaments. Like, tournaments have never really been my scene.
And that's okay.
Even in my local. Yeah. But I'm thinking I'll get a few tickets for Grindr. You know, maybe see about Masters and Minions, but like leave that to be like the most of my game experience. You know, there's too many people to talk with and socialize and things to see.
Absolutely. You know? I think I would also want to, if I was going to do some tournaments or actually like try to play, I probably would try to shoot for like Adepticon, maybe KSAG, also maybe Southern Assault. Or one of the other MRC tournaments. I know there's some that are closer to me. Southern Assault happens in North Carolina. And sponsor of the show, the Fortress Miniatures and Games, are the ones who put the Southern Assault on. And so it's a huge tournament. So yeah, I think that's probably where I would... one of the ones I would like to go to. But yeah, anyway, so there's some photos from Gen Con. I have a couple more and I'm sharing these. These are non-BattleTech related photos. However,
it's wild things other than BattleTech at, you know, Gen Con.
Like, but what? They, it is from CGL and they are from the Partha Wars. I think it's Partha Wars. Game that CGL is developing in partnership with a former NFL player. I cannot remember his name. I apologize if he actually listens to this. And please comment and tell me, and I'd love to talk to you about it sometime, just because I'm a fan of miniature games in general. But it's Sparta Wars. I don't know. But it's like a Spartan, you know, 300 style skirmish looking miniatures game. It looks awesome. But Bushido sent me some of those. And yeah, it looks sick. So,
well, just to double check us, it is actually Partha Wars. It's not Sparta Wars.
Perfect. I couldn't remember. Again, apologies to both CGL and said NFL player. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but I just was sharing those because we had those sent to me as well.
Yeah, I do want to mention, it's just like, it has a very nice, unique style to it, you know? Like, these models are like, like chunky and cartoonish, you know? But not, it feels more grounded than, say, you know, other fantasy war games out there, you know, while still having like its own style to it.
Yes,
you know, big dudes in armor. This doesn't look like any other big dudes in armor that I can think of that are on the market, you know. So but
yeah, so
the rest of the stuff,
yeah, let's move on, shall we? We've got a lot to cover today, so but again, back to the presentation, we had some product that was new and announced for this Gen Con. First, and we'll get to that in just a second, there was the Gothic box set and things that went with that. there were the emplacements that were an emplacements force pack. There was
they made
the,
a return, yeah.
Yeah, there was a second box for the third Star League, which I had forgotten about, so it's not in the notes today. There was the Millennia edition of the technical readout 3025, which we'll talk about soon. There were some really interesting dice as well. And then a couple more box sets, force packs that we'll talk about. But before we... But I think what we're going to do is we're going to start with everybody's controversial pick of Gothic, right? It's either you love it or hate it. I don't know that there's very many people that are in between. So we're going to talk about that. So.
Yeah. So what is Gothic, Seth?
Yes.
I believe this is the first box set for the BattleTech Continuum series, correct?
That is correct. It's called BattleTech Continuum. And it's basically alternate universes they wanted to explore. This one is a Gothic setting. The Catalyst product number is 40,000. So take that as you will. It's got a very Gothic theme to it. And Zach and I are give our impressions of it here in a second, but right now we're showing off what comes in the box. It does have 8 mechs that are very Gothic themed. They are, you know, have lots of kind of like
spiky greebles.
Yes,
you know,
yes, absolutely.
Cathedral like architecture. Mm-hmm. Very, you know. I do got to say the flowing fabric on some of the mechs, like the Atlas, the Crab, and the Marauder, those are nice touches. That's pretty.
I don't
fun.
Hate like, it completely.
I think like once you sit down and you start painting that, like that's going to be a fun, different experience for somebody who might only have like painted armor before, you know, to actually sit there and do like the shading on fabric. You know, it's something different.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the release. But also in this box, besides the miniatures, you got new map sheets, you got new Alpha Strike cards, as well as battlefield support. Battlefield support in the form of the Abominations, which yes. That's another key part of this. You know, not only do we still have the mechs, now, you know, gene splicing's gone wild where, you know, people are, as well as making mechs, they're also making, you know, organic creatures that, you know, they strapped the rail gun to and they said, hey, go shoot that, you know.
And, you know, like I said, it's very on brand, on theme for the Gothic, you know, universe setting that they've chosen to go with. They're, it is a complete game system in a box. And so it's, I believe, $99 for the box set.
I think it's 100. Amex,
well, you know, 99, 100. So.
Oh, sorry. Apologies.
No, you're okay. but the mechs that it comes with are a Atlas, a King Crab, a Phoenix Hawk, a Marauder, a Rifleman, a Scorpion, an Urban Mech, and what's the last one? Is it a Hermes?
The Firestarter?
Firestarter. I don't know why I thought it was a Hermes. It kind of looks like a Hermes. It's all the Greeble, like, knight helmet-looking stuff that they put on it, so.
Hey, at least they both have a flamer, right? Like, you know.
They do. They do. And so those are the mechs that they come with. The Abominations, sadly, they only have the cardboard tokens. They do not have any kind of STLs for them or miniatures for them yet. They've talked about adding them. But this maybe is what comes future. In the box. Maybe in the future.
I will say from what I've heard, people who got their hands on this, it's still the same like quality of punch that we got in, say, products like in the past, like the Mercenaries box and, you know, a game of Armored Combat. Yeah. Yeah. So like those punch cards, you know, granted it's not a 3D model, but you get like a good punch of like an Abomination that you could throw on the table. You're not using bottle caps.
No, it's that top down token, essentially.
Yeah, the top down token. So I think we could push ahead to talking about like showing off the art, right?
So one of the things that comes with the box is the Atlas has interchangeable heads, and basically each faction, five or six of the great houses in the human sphere, not the inner sphere, they have interchangeable heads, and so they have a little bit different style for each one.
Mm-hmm. So the example we have here is the stand-ins for the Draconis Combine and the Federated Sons, correct? Or no, the...
Yes. Well, it's that, the that Realm of the Blood Dragon called the Draconis Imperium, and the Realm of the Blazing Light, the Shining Kingdoms of Avalon. So they kind of lean into the dark fantasy motif a little bit more. And so that's what they're doing. It's interesting, but I like I said, I don't play 40K. I'm not a fan of 40K for the most part as a universe. So this doesn't appeal to me. I know some people are super excited about it. I know some of the other mechs, not the Atlas as much, but some of the other mechs, people have said, oh, well, I can just make them look like pirates. And that's very true. However, you and I both have a problem with that in reality, in practice, and we'll get to why in just a second.
Yeah, I think that's going to be important. I will say, you know, we use this image in particular because I think of all the Atlas variants you can, like, you know, plug together. I think I do like the Draconic Imperium the best, like the Dragon Agronoff. The dragon stuff and
iconography. The Oni helmet. What you're going for, I think, right?
Thank you.
Yes.
I swear, I know English. I just don't speak it well.
That's okay.
It's only my first language.
but along with the box set, this $100 box set, they also launched a C scale Atlas, which with interchangeable heads, and it's you know, approximately what, 6 inches tall?
Yeah, so C scale, that's the same scale they made the Timberwolf in, right?
Okay, so maybe more. I mean, the Timberwolf is shorter than the Atlas, so the Timberwolf is about 4 inches tall.
But it's the same scale.
So same scale, so it would probably be, between 5 and 6 inches tall for the Atlas, because the Atlas is a tall boy.
He's a tall boy, and I think I've seen examples of the C scale Atlas next to a Timberwolf, and they seem to be about the right scale for one another, unlike the other mechs that we're going to talk about in a moment.
Yeah.
So this is the first venture into the BattleTech Continuum.
Yep.
Yeah. I think overall, like and we'll see in a moment, I think they did really well with like the technology that's gone into making like crisp sculpts. Like these sculpts are crisp. They look good. I think it's fun that they're trying to explore different themes, but I think we could roll into maybe our hangups and our critiques of it.
So
next
I have yet to talk about Gothic, but so we'll give it a go here. We have opinions, and let's just share them, shall we? So first, as we get into it, I'm going to share a couple pictures so we can talk about the biggest hang-up I think you and I have with it, and that is size or scale, right?
Yeah.
So if you're looking at the presentation on the video, we're showing now one of the BattleTech Gothic Atlases next to the standard Atlas sculpt from CGL. And there is about a half an inch difference in height maybe a little more.
I would say, honestly, of the three examples that we have the show here, I think the Atlas is like the least egregious. You know, sure, it's bigger, but especially when we look at the Rifleman and the Marauder mm-hmm. here, though, the differences in scale become readily apparent.
They really do.
I understand. Yeah, I understand why they decided to go a little bit bigger in scale for these models. They were trying to get more detail, you know, it's right. sort of the cost of having all these like greeblies.
Yes. Yeah. All the greeblies they added, they wanted to have good detail on. And I get that. But still, for me personally, and I know for you, this is why we're talking about it. The 10% or so difference in size, it just takes me out of it. And I would not buy, I don't have any desire to buy these. It makes me think, so like looking at the Rifleman again, this is almost the same difference in size as when they put out those premium small boy Riflemen that were, the Rifle Boy, about 10% difference in size. And so I hate that, you know, like if you want to explore these alternate universes, you know, I'm not opposed to it. It may not be for me. I may not buy them. I know part of the reason, and especially for this, I mean, this is targeted at 40K fans. Let's just be honest. This is specifically targeted at 40K players who may be not happy with Games Workshop or who may be interested in Battletech. And this is 100% targeted to them. It's not targeted towards Battletech players in general. Like, Battletech players, you know, will see it and see something familiar and, you know, some like it for sure, but it's not like we're not the target audience.
I will say there is in fact like a crossover between Battletech and 40K, you know, that
sure.
that's been the case for a long time. But yeah, I do feel with this, they're leaning a little bit too hard into 40K. But again, like overall, I don't have a problem with the continuum altogether. Like, you know, I wanted to share my thoughts of like, you know, I see this product line existing, you know, alongside the main line almost in the same way like the Battletech cartoon exists, you know, because the Battletech cartoon is canon. It's canon as like in-universe propaganda. And I feel like this Battletech continuum product, if they decide to push on with it, like, I would love to see it as like, you know, oh, this is just in canon fiction.
Like,
you know,
I could see that, like, but I don't know that I would consider it the same as the cartoon in that regard. And mostly just because the cartoon didn't dive into the realm of alternate universe type stuff. You know, it was, you know, it is what it is, right? Obviously, it didn't start as canon fiction for the Battletech
exactly.
universe. It just started as canon Battletech universe fiction. Besides the scale, you know, like I have some complaints or some issues with how much of the I know that, you know, 90 to 95% of the development of Gothic was done by a different group. It wasn't done by the people who are working on the main Battletech line. I know that. However, and they, you know, CGL was like, well, it's not taking away from main, you know, from classic Battletech, from the main development line. The problem is that it's kind of a misleading statement because it does take away from it. And I say it takes away from it in a few different regards here. It takes time for whether it's Lauren, which I do know it's Lauren because Lauren, I think this is kind of his pet project, or it was his, not pet project. It was his vision. Maybe, I don't know. He was the one who's most excited about Gothic from, you know, reports and interviews. And so whether it's Lauren, who is you know, having to take time to approve the designs, to approve the lore that people are writing for it. That's time, you know, that is being taken away. And then, but then more specifically, Gothic has taken a spot in the release cadence of CGL. Meaning we were supposed to have Aces already. And instead, Aces has been pushed back to almost the end of the year because Gothic, you know, the plastic production that interrupts. I know that the factory in China that works on the miniatures, they can do multiple things at once, absolutely, but that's still machines that are being taken for Gothic that could have been used for
other biotech lines.
I'll just interrupt it. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you right now because, like, I don't know how much of this is just, you know, cold hard truth of what's happening. I personally don't know. I wish I had an ear into what was going to better understand what went into Gothic, but I don't know if we have, like, that cold hard stuff. I get your, like, reasoning and your thought process around the you know, production being taken away from other products. But I think at the end of the day, you know, maybe Gothic was pushed forward because, you know, there was some other hang up.
And I'm not saying that isn't completely the case either. Like, I am sure, I am positive there are other hang ups for, like, Aces, for these other force packs that we'll talk about later. I'm sure that there's other interruptions, not just Gothic. But production things aside, And obviously development was done by a different group, so that was not completely taking over. It also just takes up, again, release window, right? So, like, at Gen Con, okay? Not being there, I tried to watch as much of the live streams as I could, and it also took up airtime. Right. So Gothic took up a whole bunch of airtime that would have gone to BattleTech or could have gone to BattleTech for these other things if we had some of those other products. So, again, it's not directly, but it's indirectly. It is actually still taking up some of the space. And so I don't know. Like I said, again, this is not, in my opinion, and I feel like there's a pretty good argument for it. This was not targeted to BattleTech players, but targeted more towards a broader audience who like 40K, who like other grim, dark sci-fi settings, who, you know, CGL wants their business. They want them to come in and buy their product to play BattleTech. And this is an onboarding or on-road to BattleTech from that setting. Absolutely. I get the marketing strategy.
And you say CGL wants these people, and I think that's, like, too narrow. It's like, I want more people in general to be playing BattleTech.
Well, yes, you know, but you're not standing people to make money from these products like CGL is kind of what I'm saying. Like, that's, you know, for us, yes, more BattleTech, please. We want more people invested in BattleTech, more people interested in BattleTech. 100%. Yeah,
I'll end my thoughts on the whole Gothic thing as, like, you know, I think the biggest miss, like, everything else thrown aside, like, is the fact that the models aren't scaled with everything else.
Yeah.
I feel, you know, I was one of those people when they first announced it, they were like, oh, we're going to do this BattleTech Gothic setting. And I sat there, I looked at it, I was like, okay, this isn't for me. You know, I'm not a Warhammer player. I don't like this dark, sci-fi fantasy setting. But hey, that King Crab, you know, some of these mechs,
yeah,
you know,
cool.
That would be a really, yeah, it would be a really cool alternate sculpt to have in, you know, as an option when I force build. You know, I want to put together pirates. Yeah, I want my Pirate King to be in the spiky King Crab, you know.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And because it's an official Catalyst product, you know, there's no grievances when I bring it to, like, a 350 tournament to, like, oh, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, it's official plastic. You know, there's no,
You know, I can 100% see that for sure.
And I don't have to go out and buy another, you know, Comstar box.
You don't have to become an expert. Yeah, chop it up a crab, you know, using green stuff to put all these greebles on it. No, I agree. That would be fantastic. And I think, again, I think the biggest, my biggest complaint is really just the size. If they had been the same scale, the same size, I would maybe have considered buying it just for the minis. Because they're not the same size, I don't necessarily see myself buying it. And so I hope that in the future, any other Continuum projects, because I know they're working on some, I hope that they fix that scale.
I do hope so, too. So. Because, you know, for classic Battletech, it really doesn't matter that much. You know, you bring in these Continuum machines and they're out of scale, whatever. You know, but if you're going to play a format like Alpha Strike,
that's true.
It's going to be... it's going to be harder because true line of sight is a thing.
Yeah, size matters in that game for line of sight.
Yeah, like there's special rules for like if you want to take like Dark Age figures and use them for, you know, it's a whole, you know, it's another barrier to entry for Alpha Strike if you're using alternate models like these.
Yeah.
But I want to wash away all this Battletech gothic drama, and we can talk about something that we actually love.
Yes. So, and again, too, I just to end the discussion, I just want to say, like, you know, even though it's not for me, if you're excited about it, awesome. You know, I think that's great. I hope that you enjoy it. Let us know in the comments if you are a fan or if you're not. I would love to hear it and continue the discussion in that setting. And like I said, I know they're working on other Continuum projects. I just hope that the scale is fixed in future products. That way I personally can field them in my normal games because that's just my biggest hang up. So, but moving on. So that actually took up a lot of Catalyst's time. They did play some gothic with Aces, actually. So if you want to see that, go check that video out on the CGL YouTube channel. They showed off gothic. They talked about the design process. It was a fascinating conversation for sure. So you can check that out. But let's move on to the other products. And Zach, let's go to the technical readout 3025, shall we?
But I thought we already had technical readout 3025.
We what is do. This? This is the, what do they call it? Millennium edition?
No, no. It's something else. Oh goodness. Where's my notes? It's
something the, anniversary. What is it?
The centennial?
Centennial. Yes. Centennial. So yes, the because, centennial.
Yeah. What year is it right now? It's 2025. This is 3025.
That's right.
So
that's right.
It's a 1,000-year pre-anniversary.
Yes. Pre-anniversary. I love that.
Pre-anniversary.
But what is awesome, and for everyone who is a 3025 fan, which I love 3025 and the Fourth Succession War era, I've kind of moved on. I like to play in the later areas because I like the new shiny mechs. But I do have such a fondness for that. They redid the technical readout 3025 with all new sculpts and artwork. And we don't have examples of all of it, but we do have some examples. So we're going to show that now. Obviously, yeah, if you're looking at the cover, it's the Marauder who it's like the internal structure and then the external view. It looks really good.
It's so great. Like, I love seeing the like new art style, but it's still like the same angles and whatnot. It's like still charmingly goofy.
Yes.
But like even the white Marauder with its PPC bent at a weird angle is just, oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Still, you know, from that original kind of artwork, but yeah, they did everything. And this, when I say everything, they did everything. So they did the aerospace fighters. They did the dropships. They did the land air mechs are all updated as well. So I can't wait to see those. Yeah. Because then that that just means that we're closer to getting some new land air mechs. If you're a fan, again, post a comment. I'd love to hear about your favorite land air mech. Fun fact, I actually have an old original land air mech Stinger or Wasp. I can't remember which one at this point, but I do have one.
I believe it was the Wasp in TRO 3025.
I
believe it was the Wasp.
But what they do have, we have an old image of the Stingray, right? Mm-hmm. Currently this showing the old image. And
this is one of the original 12 yes. that were in there. Aerospace and drop ships.
Love it. And then the new artwork looks fantastic. It looks really good.
It's such a great glow up. The original design was like, you know, that's fine. That's totally serviceable aerospace.
Oh, absolutely.
You get the vibe. Yeah. I love the vibe. That new art, though, like, takes that and dials it up to 11. Like, freaking fantastic.
It brings it to the modern art style. You can actually see the weapons. The old one, you couldn't really see any weapons. Like, it was just like a cool aerospace fighter.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
The weapons are very defined. The details. I cannot wait till we get this thing in plastic. I want it. You know, I want it.
Yeah.
So bad.
Yeah. It's going to look great. It really is. And then we also have art for the Leopard. Which one is this?
The CV.
Leopard CV, which looks fantastic.
It looks so good. We're not going to pull up the old art, but the old art was like, it was kind of like Zeppelin from up above.
Did. Yeah.
And somebody put like, you know, a tail, like the tiniest tail wing on. Like it was goofy. But man, this new art, like, it looks like a shuttle.
It does. It looks like almost like an old school, NASA shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. But yeah, so that's
so good.
That's the 3025 Centennial Edition. And excited to get my hands on that for sure. At least the PDF. But other products that they announced and had available at Gen Con, they had some very interesting dice. They had some sets that were bullet shaped, missile shaped, and energy crystal shaped dice. They're D6, they're hexagon shaped dice. I'm not a big fan of the bullet aesthetic on dice, but some people are. That's great. The missile ones look really cool. I would be super afraid the fins on the missiles would break.
You know what? I'm kind of the opposite on those missiles. I'd be afraid the missiles are going to do more damage than they're worth.
especially if they're metal.
Like, imagine, if they're metal, like I imagine throwing that at a map sheet, like that's just going to, you know, wreck the paper if, you know, the surface down underneath is too soft.
If they're too sharp, it could even mess with your felt or velvet, like dice tray, even. It could like tear that up.
But I imagine they're going to be high enough quality that like that's really not going to be an issue.
I hope so.
I wish I was able to get them in my hands to actually like, you know, who knows? It might just be plastic or it might be like very nicely worked metal. You know,
one thing that is cool is that they have. So there's three of the three sets. There's six dice in each, and they're all in sets of two. So there's two with a cot like. The missiles and the bullets are metal colored, and they have a gold. There's a set with gold highlights and pips, a set with silver highlights and pips, and a set with copper highlights and pips. And so that's cool. Yep. And then there's the energy crystal ones, which are they look more like the kind of resin plastic dice that we're used to. And there's a red, blue, and a green, a set of two each. So those would be the ones that I would be more likely to play with.
I agree. I'm more interested in the energy ones, even though they are probably just, you know, resin dice like we've gotten before. I much more prefer that kind of form factor. That seems more fun to me. Yeah. Certainly the, I don't think they're called bullet dice. I think they're called ammo dice, but and the missile, those two, they have their audiences. I'm glad that they got them.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely. I think they're cool. So, I just wouldn't play with them personally.
Yeah. I imagine, you know, if I was to ever get these things, they would just sit on a shelf and just be, you know,
a display showpiece. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, if you're looking at the screen, in the presentation, there are some Novacat dice that were also on this particular slide. And so, you know, shout out to Brent, the Novacat fan. I know he would, I'm sure he probably has those. If he doesn't, I'm shocked. But
yeah, if they had them there, he must have gotten his hands on them.
If he didn't already have them. So
if he didn't already have them, yeah.
I should have had somebody pick me up some Sea Fox dice. So I have right in front of me
the Sea Fox challenge coin. And like,
I do have a challenge coin.
I do question, why did they go with the black python for the mech on here? Not saying it's a bad choice, but you know,
I don't know.
It's a nice coin though. Really love these things.
Okay. Moving on. Did you have something else on the dice?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
So we got the battlefield support box for emplacements again. These were first featured during Adepticon. So they're again just later in the year. This is the second time people have been able to get them in their hands. It's, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not until later this year that it's going to end up on the online store.
Correct. They're not available yet. So,
yeah,
I'm excited about them. You know, I know some people are like, emplacements, why would I want to do that? Because emplacements are technically single facing. They don't get to move. They can't turn. So we do not have the turrets yet.
Well, no, I think, aren't these supposed to be the turrets?
No, they're emplacements. Like,
okay, these are just emplacements.
Just emplacements. Okay. I mean, the difference is a card, right? The card, the rules for it, I'm sure you could use them as turrets later, but
again, it's your game. So like, if you're sitting there with your buddy and you're just like, oh yeah, medium emplacement, it's also a turret now. Like, as long as the two of you can agree on it, it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I will say,
yeah,
one last note. This is really cool that they're doing the bunkers and whatnot. I was always under the impression that like you'd be able to swap out the tops of these with the other BSPs. And from people who have gotten their hands on that, that's definitely not the case, at least not as cleanly as they advertised.
Gotcha.
So anyway, I'm eventually going to get placements for myself. And when I do, I'm probably going to end up magnetizing all my BSPs.
That's cool. That'll look good.
Yeah.
All right. So next we have the 21st Centauri Lancers. We did do an episode on them recently. Definitely go check it out. I like the mechs that we have here for it. There is a Shadowcat, is it the Jade Hawk or the Jade Phoenix?
Oh, let me check my notes real quick. Shockwave is the 2F model, I think. Or okay. Are you talking about the Jade Hawk? No, Jade Hawk's on the right. Correct?
Jade Hawk, yeah. Jade Hawk's on the right. Then there's
Jade Hawk's on the right.
There's the mech on the top. You said that's the Shockwave?
That's the Shockwave 2F. And then, looky, if you were listening to last episode, it's a Stalker 8S. I swear I had no idea about this box ahead of time. So if they already said they were going to do this Stalker variant, I apologize. But I'm so glad that we got this.
Yeah. No, it looks good. It looks really good. Can't wait for that one. The next, we did get images of not only the boxes, but also they did have some, I think, 3D printed models to show off for the two Karita, House Karita boxes. So there's the House Karita Command Lance, which comes with the, do you have the list of them there? Let's see, where is it at?
Yes, I have the list of them. Perfect. So the Command Lance, we're kind of out of order, but oh my goodness, I hate trying to say these. The Rokurokubi?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, that's exactly how you say that. you have an Akuma, a Shiro, and a Grand Dragon.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's great that we have another dragon. The 10K variant, cool. I just laugh because it's almost just a repose of the last dragon that we got.
Oh, sure.
Like, you know, the loadout hasn't really changed. You just swapped out an autocannon for a PPC.
Yeah.
Good change, but, you know, I do giggle at that. But
I do appreciate, yeah, the new Kurita mechs. Their sculpts are very good. They definitely lean into the Draconis Combine aesthetic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is Space Weeb. this is Space Japan.
Oh, sure. And then the next box set is the House Kurita Ranger Lance. And these are the more traditional Kurita mechs, but they're still standard. They were not specifically owned by House Kurita. And so obviously we have the Spider, which it's a variant. That's the Venom.
Nope. That is the Venom. SCR9K.
You're so right.
It's funny. They took a Spider, they made it, I think, 5 tons heavier and swapped out the weapons for 4 medium lasers. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but they just reinvented the Javelin 10F and gave it an extra light engine. Come at me.
Yeah. It still looks cool. I appreciate it. It is a spider, though.
I love the skull. Yeah.
Then there is the Chimera? Yes, the Chimera.
Yeah, it's just going left to right. You know, we got the Venom, we got the Chimera, mm-hmm. the Panther 10K, and all the way at the end, the Avatar.
Yay! Inner Sphere Omnis, finally.
Finally, yeah. Hey, when are we getting that blackjack on me? Just saying, asking for a friend.
Well, at least with the blackjack Omni, you could potentially use a normal blackjack to suffice.
Yeah.
There's not like an avatar. There's not like an avatar original, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like all these mechs give, except for the Panther there, all these are like new sculpts.
Yeah.
New sculpts, new chassis for people to play with. And man, do they look great. Like, oh my gosh.
They really do. So excited for those. There is one other, and I don't have a picture of it. So I apologize, but it's and I know that there's a picture out there for it. It is the third Star League second box set. I don't remember what the Force Pack's title is. But it's
can't
the one
remember that, either.
But it's the one that has Alaric's Savage Wolf. It has the mech recovery vehicle.
Savior.
The Savior recovery vehicle. What else does it have in it?
I could not say off the top of my head. Oh my goodness.
Anyway, that's the one that we are also waiting on. So leave us a comment. Tell us what they are so that we can remember, because we weren't there.
We forgot.
We forgot. Yes. But yeah, no, that's exciting. And that was, I'm sure, cool. Thank you, Charles Gideon, for the pictures of the sculpts in the cases. Ironwind Metals, who was recently acquired by CGL. They had, once again, a con-exclusive launch for the sculpt, which is a Marauder 2 on jump jets. Kind of hard to tell, but it's in the display case there. Looks fantastic. They also had a couple other variants of the Marauder 2. There were some variants of the, what's the Davian mech in the back? I totally forget what it's called.
I should know because I was drooling over the damn thing. I think it's a Rampart. Is that it?
Rampage.
Rampage?
You know,
let me double check real quick.
You'd think as professionals, we would have looked this up.
Is it a Rampage? Oh my gosh. I don't know if it is a Rampage.
It's not the Rampage. No. I can't remember what it is. But there's a sculpt.
Dude, it's Gypsy Danger in, you know, Battletech.
It kind of is, yeah. There's some of the Iron Sparrow sculpts there. They look fantastic. There are some new sculpts for the Longbow in the bottom that also look fantastic. So yeah, definitely check them out. There's also a very cool sculpt of an Atlas grabbing an aerospace fighter in the background there. So props.
Yeah,
props to that one.
Yeah, that's a fun thing. I don't know if we want to take a step back real quick to that Star League box because I did look up what was in there.
Oh yeah, tell us what's in there.
So all right, of the six miniatures that we have in there, there is a Wendigo, Excalibur,
oh, yes, of course,
Peacekeeper, Malice, and as you were saying, the Savage Wolf. And the vehicle in the box is the Savior repair vehicle. So if you did leave a comment, you know, thank you. Still, yes. Do flame us.
Yes, for absolutely. Not having
that ready. So that was all the force packs that are coming down the pipe, right?
Yes.
What about those box sets? There are four box sets coming to us.
Well, over the next... these box sets are very special in that they are kind of delivering a new game system. I know we've all heard about it. We've been waiting for it. I really wish I had it in my hands already. I got to look through the alpha cards that came with the Kickstarter back in the day, but I would love to get my hands on and do a proper review of Battletech Aces, which is the Alpha Strike solo narrative play box set and system.
Slash cooperative,
yes, not just solo. I thought that the panel that they did for Aces was great. I really enjoyed learning all the juicy details, and we're going to go over those details right now. Mm-hmm. We'll have a couple pictures of it. This first one is taken from the video, kind of showing it off, and then this will leave up the one that shows everything that comes in the box. It does come with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 mechs and two vehicles. And then, just 7 mechs and 2 vehicles is what it comes with. Yes. And so there's 9 minis. But it also comes with terrain, like the Alpha Strike box. I have, in the video, they talk about the terrain actually being really a step up in quality from the last time. So I'm excited for that.
This terrain's going to be a little bit different because that in the Alpha Strike box, it was just like square, cubular buildings.
Just buildings, this time, yeah.
Yeah, it was just buildings. This time for Scouring Sands, they're including, you know, like canyon mountains.
Mm-hmm.
They're like irregular shapes that you can mix and match and make, you know, interesting features with them, as well as tileable like river pieces.
Yes, the river pieces and the bridges are both that thicker cardstock cardboard. They look fantastic. Yes. I'm excited for that. But let's talk about the contents of that box real quick, shall we? Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, the first box, this is the first Aces box. There's going to be 4 coming out, and they say there's going to be 1 coming out every quarter after that one launches. We'll see if it's actually every 3 months, if it's 3 to 4 months. I think I'll be okay with that too. But the first one is called Scouring Sands, and it is a Jade Falcons themed Hinterlands box. The estimated arrival to store shelves is around Black Friday. So,
fingers
unfortunately, unfortunately. I think Randall said maybe like a week or two earlier at the earliest, but we'll expect it there. So we still have a few months, but yeah, I'm excited for that. It is an automated GM engine, basically, that provides, you know, uses cards to provide the moves and everything for playing against kind of an AI. So it's pretty cool. The mechs that are included, there's a Thunderbolt 2C. Looks fantastic. It is one of the two new sculpts. So they did say that kind of like the Alpha Strike box, there's going to be two new sculpts and then some variants, sculpts that are in there. So Thunderbolt 2C is one of the new ones. The other new sculpts are actually the two hover tanks that are included. They are Fulcrum hover tanks and they look fantastic.
Yeah, they're very sci-fi hovercraft.
Yes, yes.
Love their aesthetic.
They look great. There is a Bane 3, which I think is going to be one of the reasons a lot of people buy this as well.
I heard you like missiles, son.
Yeah, missiles with your missiles. There is the Summoner H variant. I'm excited for that one. There's the Howler 6, another good variant. The Rifleman, C2. So the Rifleman, like Inner Sphere Rifleman, but the clan version, number 2.
The second configuration, yeah.
Right. So not a Rifleman 2C, but... so yeah, that'll be an interesting comparison. There's the Locust 2C4. And then there is the Marauder 2C6. So all good variants coming. Excited for that.
Yeah, I think some people, you know, people are most excited for, I feel like, you know, that Bane 3 is going to see a lot of use. That Marauder 2C6 is also going to be something I feel we're going to be seeing a lot more. It's a jumping assault mech, right?
You're right. I think it is.
2C.
I think it does have jump jets.
Yeah. I don't have memorized like the C2's like tonnage and stuff like that, but like I do know the 6 is the jumping variant, and they have talked about it as like that's going to be like a boss fight for one of the tracks in their campaign system, because this is a campaign box.
Absolutely. You know, it's the seven... Alpha Strike campaign box, essentially.
Yeah. So along those lines, there's going to be 7 campaign scenarios as well as 22 other included scenarios. Is that right?
Yes. They said that in the panel discussion that they had, that there's a 7 scenario campaign for the Jade Falcon Scurrying Sand. And then there's 22 total scenarios that you can play in the box set. So there's a lot. The emphasis on this box set encourages cooperative versus AI play, or potentially solo if you want to do solo. But yes, it's this. They said there's also over 100,000 words of fiction included in the books for this. So, I mean, that's an added bonus that we're going to get with it as well. That's at least a novella, if not a novel, for sure.
Yeah, that's like nuts.
And so, you know, they said there's also a guided tutorial on how to play the Aces system. So you'll be, I think, I don't know if that's maybe the first scenario, but it's definitely gonna have that. The whole reason that they talked about creating Aces, and I do love this, is that it was a way to bring that lore tie-in, that lore flavor to Alpha Strike. To the campaign play to Alpha Strike. And it started with the developers who created it. They actually started this engine in a former game. They were developers, not developers, but they were X-Wing players. The X-Wing miniature game.
Yeah, they were
game.
Fans. Yeah, yep. Fans of the X-Wing. I believe their system was called Heroes of the Atari Cluster, or HOTAC.
Oh, I see. I didn't even know that part. But yeah, they started with X-Wing. I think Randall saw it when they did it in Star Trek Alliance. That was what they were saying, I think. And then it was like, yeah, absolutely, we could bring this system to BattleTech. And so I do find it cool. I was a little disappointed that they didn't do Classic and Alpha Strike at the same time, like develop the systems, just because I feel like you're cutting out half or more of your player base for the rules. However, let's be honest, most of us Classic players will probably buy the box at least for the miniatures. So
yeah, I do think it's unfortunate that they couldn't release Classic and Alpha Strike in tandem.
I know it's going to take a lot of extra work, but for sure.
Yeah, I imagine that's what Classic. It comes. Because as somebody who has played the previous work, Heroes of the Atari Cluster, I don't know. You know, it's a very nice system, but yeah, all the variables that go into Classic play, you know, it makes it a little harder to crunch that. So
yeah,
they'll probably, you know, I played the Alpha as you did with the Mercenaries Kickstarter, and there was always just a little bit of something that was kind of missing in those cards. Like, you know, it was fine. I played a few games with myself and with family. You know, it was fine, but it really seems like they took this the extra mile by adding in like commanders that are going to like change behaviors based on, you know, who's running the force.
And I think that's awesome. I love that. So
yeah, like, oh my gosh, the possibilities for what they could do, because this is just the first box.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the first box. You get in, we have here, they teased what the next boxes are going to be, right?
Well, and I see them. So these are the first, there's four boxes that they are working on for sure. I could see them conceivably giving us, instead of full box sets, card packs in for later expansions that are just the Aces cards. Maybe card packs with the scenarios, you know, kind of thing. But that would give us new commanders. That would give us new scenarios to run with, like, say, the Alpha Strike box or other boxes. So I think there's a lot of possibility here. I do like it. I think, you know, I've been a Classic player all my life. I like Alpha Strike. I've barely touched it. I want to play more. But I think that if you can, you know, merge the two, right? So you've got Classic players and Alpha Strike players, and Alpha Strike players tend to focus more on the competitive side of things. And Classic, I think, lends itself more to narrative play. But so this is bringing the narrative to Alpha Strike. I then want to see, selfishly, I want to see a glow up for Classic narrative play, because Hinterlands is a great start. And I'd love to see more, and we're going to see more development on that too, which I think helps that. So, but let's talk about the other three boxes.
Yeah, just real quick, because we don't have a ton of information on that right now. Just snippets from one of the streams during Gen Con. So the first box set that we were teased of, that was Snowblind, which is going to be a Ghost Bear Civil War box based on Dominions Divided.
Absolutely. I'm super excited about this just because I'm a Ghost Bear fan at heart, always have been. And what it was teased as is that it's basically a mercenary contract or series of mercenary contracts in the Rossel Hog Dominion during the Civil War. So it's kind of an outsider's perspective of the Civil War. It is going to be snow biome based. So the terrain will be snow based. I don't know if it'll be on Alshane or if it'll be on another one. They kind of were like playing coy, like, oh, it's a very, you know, heavy industrial, important industrial planet, which Alshane is the only one I can think of, but maybe something else. But they did confirm three mechs that are going to be in that box. They confirmed the Rime Otter, which is a medium mech that looks like a baby grizzly. looks like a baby grizzly. It looks so good. I'm excited for it. So we'll get that. There is also the Viking 2C. We will get that.
I'm looking forward to that.
Same.
Oh my gosh.
So those
are like, I'm tired of using my stalkers as proxies for that thing. Like,
so we're going to get, those are the two new sculpts that we're going to get. We're going to get a variant for the grizzly that was also confirmed. And then we don't know any others past that, but I'm excited. I hope there's some more of the Ghost Bear Rossahog mechs, the Bear Totem mechs, because we've got a good, I don't know, four or five
more.
Yeah,
well, we have the Kodiak. I do hope they kind of revisit the Bear Cub.
That's what I'm saying. I think the Bear Cub, there's the Bear Cub, there's the Ursus, there's the I don't know, like I said, there's four or five more Totem Ghost Bear mechs that I think we could see. So anything else on the Snowblind box set?
No, I know nothing.
Okay.
Beyond those points.
No, yeah. And really, that was the only other one they gave us many details about. The other two are the next one is the Ace's Wrath and Reprisal, which is set for Empire alone. And it is the Duchy of Andurian versus the Capellan Confederation. So, hey, look at that. We've got Free World Zeke versus Capellan Confederation. No idea what kind of mechs they're going to be. They didn't actually say what the biome was going to be, but they did say that like all of these are going to have a different biome. So the Scouring Sands is obviously desert themed. You know, Snowblind will be snow. I assume this one will be maybe like a standard forest kind of biome. I'm not sure. Or maybe city. I don't know.
So, all right. So it's Duchy of Andurian against the Capellan Confederation. They didn't mention what worlds this is going into, right?
They didn't mention anything about it, really, other than that. The only thing they said is that it's another... Go ahead.
Depending on where you go, I can imagine this could be more industrial. Because the Capellan Confederation, as well as the Duchy, I think they do have manufacturing capability. You know, maybe the mercenaries are tasked. You could explain your note here, but
yeah,
you know, maybe the players are tasked with, you know, taking the Capellan's toys again or something like that.
Maybe so. Know,
or defending it.
I mean, it's sometimes it's easy to forget, but the Capellan Confederation, they have all the tech right now. They have lots of advanced tech. They have some pretty cool shiny new mechs. They're definitely set up to be a good op for that one. So, and they did say that the contract, the mercenary kind of story that's going to be in that is going to be like the Grey Death Legion mercenary star story, but in reverse. So what they meant by that was that instead of you as the Grey Death Legion being the rebels, the underdogs, it's going to be you are the mercenary unit who is trying to put down a rebellion. So we'll see.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Imperialism, eat your heart out. Let's go.
But then tell us about that last box.
Yeah, so Controlled Burn. This will be based on Ilclan Eyes Only. It will surprisingly be Davian versus the Snow Ravens. So that's what they said. So I'm guessing we're just kind of glossing over the fact that, you know, Davian took back the Dragon's Tongue. You know, and with that, like, New Avalon, you know, absolutely, all that nonsense from the Dark Age is behind us.
What they teased in the interview was basically that, yes, the Dragon's Tongue has been, you know, taken back over for the most part. I don't think all of the worlds, maybe, but essentially...
I don't think all of it, though.
Yeah, but essentially, though, the Snow Ravens are jumping the gun, trying to support the Ill Clan and the Ilcon, And so they're like, you know what? You guys should all just fall in line and join the new Star League. And so I think they're going after House Davian and the Federated Suns, which they're not in a great position to defend themselves. So I think this is a really, I'm almost more excited for this than the others. And it, of course, it's going to be the last one. But
yeah,
two
the
reasons.
The last planned one so far.
Yes. Two reasons, though. One, the biome is going to be the alien worlds. They're going to take basically the alien worlds map packs and use those, I think, for it. So awesome. Love to see that. Also, I'm okay with Davian fighting someone other than the, you know, Draconis Combine or the Capellan Confederation. Let's give them a new enemy to face. And yeah,
same.
And then, of course, you know, our last episode, Zach, was all about the Thumpers and how they are sitting pretty over there in Federated Suns waiting to support them. So, shoot, I think we need a Thumpers versus Snow Ravens campaign, you know, just saying. So
I feel like that's almost what we're gearing up for, because we even talked about the placement of them. You know, it was kind of weird. Like, they weren't too far away from the Dragon's Tongue.
But they were still far enough.
They're still far enough. But now the Snow Ravens are in...
They're a lot closer to the Snow Ravens. If you look at the map, they're actually only a few jumps from the Snow Raven border as opposed to the Draconis Combine. So, yeah. I think they are 100% set to face up. And if it's not in this box set, I think it's a missed opportunity, but I will be happy to create my own at that point.
Yeah, I think at the, you know, that's when you know, fan fiction comes into play, you know.
Absolutely.
Start writing those shrapnel articles, you know.
I know, right? I've got several ideas that I've just need to sit and work and submit. So, but hey, that was all from the BattleTech Aces discussion. I am very excited about that. I can't wait to see it. Sadly, we have to wait till Black Friday, but we'll get there. That gives me time to paint. That gives me time to paint and get some more games played. So,
yeah, we just mentioned fiction. There's BattleTech fiction coming down the pipe. I know you've been chomping at the bit to get more of this stuff. And they were announcing at Gen Con that their plan for next year and going forward is to be pumping out 6 novels per year instead of the 4. Now, I don't know how they haven't quite been able to hit 4 novels a year yet, but
yeah,
or have they?
I'm trying to think. They might have last year, but I don't know if they count like those omnibus, for lack of a better word, where it's like all of the Fox Patrol fiction put into one book. If they're counting that as the anthologies, if they're counting that as one of their novels that they released in the last year, then no, I don't think they did. If they count that, then they did. If they don't count that, then I don't know that they did. But I'm excited. I want, you know, as someone who doesn't get to play as much, but who loves the fiction and the lore, I love to get to do that. They did mention quite a few specific books. And so we'll just kind of go through them. We're not going to talk a ton about it. One, because this has already gone an hour and 20 minutes, but then also there's just not a lot of information on it yet. So,
yeah, for the most part, we might have like a description or a title for the book and who's writing
it. Yes, exactly. So we did just get released Catastrophe Unlimited by Stackpole, one of the, you know, the fathers of BattleTech history himself. It is out now. It was available on August 1st. The Longest Day is also out now. It was by Jason Smetzer. And it is a clan invasion story about the Draconis Combine versus the Smoke Jaguars. So interested to read that for sure. Not to be confused with The Long Road, which is being written by Jason Hanza, and that is going to be a Dark Age continuation novel for a character from that setting. So interesting. Boy. Interested to find out more about that. We are going to get another Fox Patrol novel called Outfoxed. Obviously, that will be written by the Fox Patrol novel writer. Oh my gosh, I just forgot his name. Help me out.
It's contagious because I blanked on it too.
I wrote it further down. Brian Young. Yeah. So.
Oh yeah, Brian Young. Of course, yes.
So we're going to get a standalone novel, because right now we've not gotten a full novel. We've just gotten like some short stories that have been put together in an anthology. So we're going to get a proper novel for them. We're going to get a book called Silent Reapers, I believe is what they couldn't remember the name of it either. So we're pretty sure that's what it's called. It's actually one of the German authors, Daniel Isberner. And that one looks to be due in December of this year. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Fox Patrol novel is set for November of this year. Jason Hanza's Long Road is set for this fall. They didn't really say. Moving into 2026, there is Ghosts of Tim Cavici. I think that was the right name. That's going to be from Brian Young. It is going to be a Ghost Dogs story. So we'll get another story about them. We are going to get a Snow Ravens novel, which I bet will be timed to go with the Snow Ravens Davian Aces box, maybe.
I think so. You know, as we were, sorry.
Yeah.
As they have said, their plan is to have these Aces boxes out within a year of the first one coming out. So,
yeah,
2026 lines up perfectly with that.
But that Snow Ravens novel is going to be from Michael Ciaravella. There's a trilogy coming. Tell us about that one.
The War of Reaving novels?
Yes.
Yeah, those will be written a different writer each time, right? We're going to have Hanza, we're going to have Phil Lee, and yes. Craig Reed Jr. all working on that.
Yes.
I'm interested to see how that pans out. You know, I can think of one trilogy of, of media that was written with, you know, different writers that didn't pan out so well. But, you know, I've read Hanza's stuff. Phil Lee and Craig Reed Jr., that they do good stuff. So
absolutely.
I'm
excited. And I'm really excited too, because The War of Reaving is really one of those Dark Age moments that were brought together in a source book and have never really been explored in novel form, in fiction. And so I am pumped to get that. I'm kind of sad that how it ends, you know, because we know how it ends. We know that there's only four of those clans left at the end.
Spoilers.
I mean, 15 years ago, spoilers. Because like I said, it came in a source book. However,
yeah,
I do want some Stone Lion fiction for sure. I'm excited about it. I am.
Yeah. And then we'll get the Ghost Bears Civil War aftermath. That'll be covered within four novellas by Brian Young.
Yes. I'm genuinely hoping for better than what we got in whatever the single novel we have for the Ghost Bears right now. I liked that book that for Brian Young. But I liked it. I really only liked it for the Jade Falcon part. I feel like the Ghost Bear part was. I don't know that Brian had as much liberty in the writing of the Ghost Bear side of things as he may in this next four novellas. Because I think he was trying to cover a whole lot of ground for the Civil War. He basically was covering the entire Civil War in two thirds of a or in one third of a novel.
Yeah, it felt like his book, even though it was advertised as, you know, oh, hey, it's a Ghost Bears novel. Like, it really did feel more like a Jade Falcon story because that was the meat and potatoes of it.
Yeah.
You know, it was like you said, this whole war was just blown through.
And again, I don't think that I don't put that solely on Brian, because I think that, again, he was writing within the scope of what he was given. And so I have hope for these Ghost Bear Civil War aftermath novels. I hope that Brian, if you listen at all, which I do want to have you on to cover Fox Patrol at some point. It's just been crazy. I genuinely hope that you put as much effort and care into the crafting of these stories, as knowing that this is the most loved faction in BattleTech. And I say most loved, I say that in regards to the fact that, like, when you look at, like, say, I know there are several merchandising statistics that support the fact that Ghost Bear outsells everything, with Davian being a close second. So
I was going to say, it's like
Davian's definitely top in a lot of,
you know, some
really
metrics. Like Clan Wolf, but
yes, Clan Wolf too. But Ghost Bear products,
well, no.
Sell.
Let me finish though.
Sorry,
it's like,
go ahead.
Some people will love Clan Wolf. However, a lot of people also hate Clan Wolf, you know?
Yes, true.
I think the same for other clans. It's like, I can't think of a single person who sits there and is like, yeah, nah, Clan Ghost Bear, they're the worst. I hate them. Get them out of the set. Like, nobody is like that. They are, you know, if you could think of like a good guy clan, like the Ghost Bears is maybe the closest thing you're going to get.
At least as far as the invading clans go, for sure. I think
the invading clans. Yeah.
I think that people either love them or they're indifferent to them. But like you said, unlike Clan Wolf, where it's like you love them or you hate them, you know, because you're against them. So, but you know, they were the most powerful clan, at least as far as like militarily and even as far as like region of space that they controlled, in leading into the Ill Clan era. And I feel like Catalyst was kind of just like, well, we just got to bring him down a peg. We need to give them some trouble. And I'm like, why? They haven't had their time in the limelight. So I don't know. Brian, please do well by them, which I know he's going to try, you know. And so I genuinely, especially if he can write them without, you know, writing them without having the Jade Falcons in the books with them so much, I think will do them a benefit for sure. So I have high hopes. And we're supposed to get them, I think, over the end of this year, going into next year. So,
yeah. And moving on from that, we have a graphic novel.
Yes.
That's going to be coming out. I believe this is the one being done in collaboration with Michael Stackpole? Like, he's helping with
Stackpole's
the writing?
Stackpole's one of them. I think there's a couple other people, but or Eldonius Rex, I think, is the artist who's doing it. It's going to be fantastic.
I'm looking so forward. Like, since the moment they announced it, I was like, thank you. I hate reading.
Yes. Yes.
I want to look at the pretty mech pictures. And oh man, just such great artists in the BattleTech community, man. I really hope, you know, I really hope this product takes off so we could hopefully get more of this in the future.
I'm sure we will.
You know,
sure we will. It's just a matter of time.
Just to fill it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Phil Lee is going to bring more Free Worlds League fiction at some point. That's probably 2026 or later.
There's a Gothic shrapnel being planned for October of this year. So I guess it's sort of like a Halloween special, which that could be fun.
I think the timing's right for that. I think, you know, for those who are excited about Gothic, here you go. This is your opportunity to dive into some lore. So I think that's very cool for them.
Yeah.
And then we are going to get the Shrapnel 25th anniversary issue planned for 2026.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so let's see, that kind of wraps up the fiction discussion. Again, go check out CGL's VODs. They're 12 hours long each, so you might have to scrub through and find it, but there's good discussions there. There wasn't as many BattleTech ones this year. CGL is coming with a lot more. They're coming with this Partha Wars game. They've got a whole bunch of new board games. Shadowrun's having a bunch of new stuff. The Voltron TTRPG. They're bringing a lot. So their live streams
they also have
had
a,
to show off more this year for sure.
They're also collaborating for one of the animes out there. The Hero one. I think
My
it's
Hero
like some
Academia.
Card game. Yes, thank
no,
you.
No, it's a it's a miniatures game, I think, actually.
Oh, it's a miniatures game. Okay. I just saw it, you know, they didn't have a BattleTech Kickstarter this year, but of course CGL has, you know, they have a Kickstarter for this one. So
yeah, that's
know,
the
I hope
Kickstarter
it goes
coming.
Well for them, but
they also did say that the Magnificent Seven season two actual play has been I think finished recording and should be coming later this year. I need to catch up on it. I have not committed the time to watching it all, so I need to do that. Just because I do love a good actual play, so I can't wait to see that. Which they are playing is it's kind of Aces, isn't it?
It is Aces.
Yeah,
they are playing Aces. So you know, if you kind of want to get like a early introduction to it, watching season one of their actual play, is a good way to throw you in there. They had special guests from Tex from the Black Pants Legion, as well as
Big Red
40. Mm-hmm. Big Red, what is it, 40 Tech now that he goes by?
I think so. It started as Big Red 40K, then it was Big Red 40 Tech, I think, or something like that. But yes,
I don't
Big
even
Red...
know if he covers Warhammer stuff anymore.
I think he's mostly been BattleTech. I'd love to get him on as well and Tex. Actually, fun fact, the first time I guested on a Wolfnet radio podcast, it was with Tex.
All right.
I was a little forgettable because Tex he's just a big personality. And so, that was 4 or 5 years ago at this point, is how old that is. Cause it was, when I was coming back and was getting involved with everything I could and during COVID times, Wolfnet had probably the biggest online community of BattleTech players going at that time. So, and we've come so far, and, I've got a chance to meet most of those people and they're fantastic. So, but yeah, you know what, Zach, we didn't get to make it to Gen Con and that's sad, but that's okay. No. I hope that you get to go next year. I don't know if I will because my anniversary is August 2nd. And so I, smartly prioritize my wife. I did get to go last year and that was partially because it was the BattleTech 40th anniversary. I don't know if I'll also too, because it's so big and because BattleTech and the miniature side of things is probably the least represented of the four games genres that are at Gen Con. It's miniature war games, tabletop RPGs, collectible and card games, and then just like standard board games and stuff. So it's pretty awesome. So I hope you get to go.
Yeah, there's certainly other options. It's like, yeah, Gen Con is the biggest one. But it's certainly not the only one. We even mentioned, one of the smaller ones is Adepticon. And yes. BattleTech has a big presence there as well.
They do.
And I'll say for Gen Con this year, like they literally like CGL consumed like an entire corner of the floor.
Big booth.
yeah, it was a big booth. And from what I hear, like they were making, they were having a good go of it. Like they weren't able to keep enough product on the shelf to satiate everybody who was coming by.
Yeah.
So, I just look forward to it getting bigger and bigger, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I think that about does it, Zach. Thank you for joining me for this Gen Con news and announcements wrap-ups. If you've made it this far, thank you for hanging out and watching. Please leave a like and subscribe on the YouTube channel. Give me a review on your podcast platform of choice. Also, don't forget to check out the show sponsor, Fortress Miniatures and Games. They will, I'm sure, have these force packs as soon as they're available. And so definitely check them out. Zach, you got any shout outs or anything?
Well, I'll just say thank you for having me again.
Yes.
If any of you folks, you know, after finishing this episode, if you want to continue the conversation, come and hang out. We are both in the Valhalla Club Discord.
Oh, yeah.
Come on in. Come hang out. We are having regular meetups playing MechWarrior Online, MechWarrior 5 Mercs and Clans. Mm-hmm. There is more stuff happening on Tabletop Simulator these days, thanks to the work by Breaktime Phil. So, if you're interested in just carrying on the conversation or even playing Battletech related things, please come on over by the Valhalla Club Discord. Do you have links to that in the description, or will you have
those? I sure do. There will be links in the show notes, as always, so definitely check that out. And yeah, come join the conversation, hit us up, join us in a voice channel. You can also hit us up on the socials. There'll be links to the Mercenary Star ones there. And I, again, Zach, thanks for joining, and look forward
thanks
to
for having, me.
Having more conversations with people in Discord. So come hang out and join us there.
Yep. All right. Have a great one.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the show, and be sure to check out not only the Mercenary Star podcast on YouTube, but also check out some of our other shows. I just launched a new show called MechWarrior Memory Core. I had to really think about that, Zach. For the first episode, I covered Grace and Death Carlisle. I'm going to be doing more of those where I cover, you know, the legendary MechWarriors of the Battletech universe, not just the units, but the warriors themselves. And so we go over the Alpha Strike and Pilot cards that come in the in all of the force packs. So kind of go over that, and then you know what, there may even be another one or two in the works, one that focuses on the clans. Brent really said he wants to do that with me, and then, you know, who knows, there's more to come. But all right,
always more Battletech,
always more Battletech. So shout out to everyone who was at Gen Con. Miss you guys, and hope that you are past any con crud and moving on into the fall. So have a good night. God bless.